Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Mana on the Rocks. It is I, the dizziest spell, Joe. Joining me this week, we have the spelliest dizzy, Atlas.
Hello, everybody.
This week, Atlas went to Punt City with a lot of our friends, and Atlas tells us everything about it. It's a different environment. It's not the Pacific Northwest. It's the East Coast meta. It's the online meta. We get into all of that and more. Speaking of more, we have more announcements to cover. So, Atlas, what is on the horizon?
Coming up, I think it's just two events in May, at least that I'm aware of for right now. There's one on the 11th of May, which is going to be at Tabletop Village in Seattle. It's going to be a 10 proxy event. It's going to be their first event, so pop out there and support them if you're able to. And then on the 25th of May, there's going to be the Gabby's event, which is our local shop. It's the OCCS. That's going to be May 25th. It's 100% proxy for the first time ever, so definitely check that out.
Let's go!
Yeah, come out and compete and show us what you got. So we'd love to see you there. Love to see new decks, new players, and fight some really strong opponents in the latest Magic the Gathering tournament at our local
Come
store.
One, come all.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Oh, okay, cool.
It's pretty short today, yeah.
Yeah, very, very short today. I guess we're still waiting for a lot more announcements to show up. Well, I know we're not going to be short on this one. Shout out to this week's lucky patron, Justin, my man. Appreciate you a lot. You should come on down and get a drink with us. So, you went to Punt City.
I did, yeah. Week or two ago now?
Yeah, this is about like a week after the fact. Because it was not this past weekend, but the last weekend. What were your thoughts and opinions? Because this is like the first big tournament for you. Like bigger... Massive.
Yeah, it was the first one we traveled for, like exceptionally far, because I'd been to California to play an event or two, but yeah. It was really cool. It was a great experience. It was like more or less just kind of a convention. They had like side events and stuff like that going on. It was there was a lot of like big faces, names, and people there. They had like artist booths and. Like I said, side events, like there was a popper event and things like that. So there's all cool. there's all sorts of cool stuff going on, and had a really great time. Met some neat people, got to jam some games. In the redemption event and the night in between the day one and two. So yeah, it was really fun.
Sick. For anyone who doesn't know what Punt City is, what was Punt City?
It was a CDH event over in Pennsylvania, in Phoenixville. It was a two-day event with a 180 player cap, I think. It was just another big event. It was one of the platinum events for the top deck qualifier circuit.
Okay. Sick. What did you? I'm just going like robotic mode on this. I don't know, man. I'm just kind of on autopilot. I'm kind of just here because I didn't get to go, which is sad.
Yeah,
but
it was a bummer. But...
Yeah, it's okay. I'll probably catch the next one. Maybe hopefully. I have travel plans later this year. I can't be traveling all over the world. So what was your like thoughts on the event? Like this is like a big one for you. Like this is a big step.
Yeah, it was neat. I think my overall impression was that, so it was on the East Coast as compared to the West Coast where we are based. So there were definitely just some, meta differences. I think that there were people from all over the place. So it was like a little bit of an amalgamation of different like samplings, but obviously a large number of the people were more local to the area or like from the East Coast or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So you could definitely like tell there were certain people who like knew each other or like played in the same groups and stuff, which is awesome. That's kind of like how things run for us over here. PNW. So it was a little different to be like more on the outside of that, but everyone was really, really welcoming. There were definitely some changes, not changes, but like differences in like the way the overall play style of players, at least that I ran into, which I think I was doing some thinking about it, and you can kind of break it down. I broke it down to say like the style is just, it's less focused on, I want to be delicate here. I don't want to say it's like less focused on playing carefully or like correctly, but it just felt like there the people who were playing were focused a lot more on like forcing their shot through a window than the people than like the people who play in our area at least. So it's like, which like they panned out for a lot of people and also didn't pan out for even more because that's just how the numbers run, right? But though at least for the people that I played with and saw, and it was I ended up falling into Swiss Hell, so that could have probably been part of it as well. But from the players that I was playing against, it would basically boil down to there would be like me and sometimes one other responsible player, and then the rest of the players would kind of just be like just throwing stuff out there.
Go the sands in the wind, go yeah, for the win right now.
Yeah, or like their deck doesn't play a lot of interaction, they're just like, oh yeah, I don't play like counter spells for that or something like that. Like I played against Derevi, which is awesome, but the player was super cool, they were really nice, but like they were just very upfront. They were like, yeah, I really don't play interaction like to stop other people. And I was like, oh, but you're in Bant. And they're like, yeah, I know, I'm just playing pieces to win the game, like to make mana and stuff. And I was like, okay, interesting.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, so it's just different, right? I now understand why everyone from the East Coast and like the online meta is like so adamant about Rhystic Study getting banned. And it's just because like nobody respects Rhystic Study. It's kind of like just really greedy, right? Like everyone's like, okay, I'm going to send my spells and I have to play my spells right now because I want to. And then they don't pay for any taxes. They don't like wait for a fish to die. They just like jam everything into everything, at least in the circles that I was playing in, and the pods that I was playing in.
Yeah, I guess if that's like your mentality and like that's your experience with it, I think that argument for wanting to ban Rhystic makes a lot more sense, but also I think you're just looking at like the face value of the card when you say that.
Yeah, well, it's like there are other ways to answer different strategies and different like cards, right? Like you can adjust your style of play or like sort of metagame the card specifically or something, right? It's like it's the same reason that if someone's on black or like is on a known Adnaz list or something, or some sort of strategy that like we know uses their life total, you attack them even if it's just for like one or two extra damage. Like if it's
they get the trip shots.
Like you're dinging them with your Bowmasters when there's not somebody better to be dinging, right? Like one Esper Sentinel ping and it might kill the Sentinel, or maybe it goes over and it hits the Nos player or the Crick player or something like that, right? Just because like you know that that's how you slow them down and you stop them, because those life-based strategies tend to be really efficient. Well, Rhystic Study is a really efficient card when everyone just kind of ignores the fact that it's there and then complains about everyone else drawing like cards because of Rhystic Study.
Meanwhile, like you cast like four spells into it and you don't do anything productive to like counteract the fact that you gave someone four cards. You
cast like two rituals and a rock to cast Timna and pay for zero taxes. Like that's on you. that's literally your fault. And you can say, oh, I have to play the game, oh, I have to advance myself, as much as you want. And sometimes that's true, but you can't say that every single game, especially when like when people are aggressively mulliganing for Rhystic Study, like down to like three or four cards in their hand, then dumping a turn one or two Rhystic. I hate to break it to you, but that person now has like one to two cards in their hand, maybe sometimes even zero. Like if you just take a turn off and play another land, or just wait one extra turn, then you can play around the Rhystic Study. Yes, you play slower, but if everyone plays slower, then that Rhystic Study player is now just top decking. Their entire game plan is over.
They're also out tempoed.
Yeah, like if you're like, oh, I'm gonna cast this turn two Timna, and someone goes turn two Rhystic right before you. You know what you can do? You can say, okay, well then I'll play a turn four Timna, because I'll go here's my wait a turn, play my rock. Wait a turn, play my Timna, but I've paid for both Rhystic Studies, and as long as everyone does the same thing, or like only feeds like one card every like two turns or something like that. Like if you're like, okay, well I have to cast two spells to keep on curve, like even taking a turn off, you're like, okay, play my rock, not pay for the study, cast my Timna, pay for the study.
It can just be a Sphere of Resistance.
It didn't draw them two cards. It drew them one card, and that's a big difference, right?
Massive.
And that was something that some of the other people in our group also like mentioned, was like people just didn't pay for anything. So if you just played like a Remora or a Fish or whatever, you can just like win the game for free basically. And so now I understand what all the complaining is about. I had a similar experience with Talion. Like everyone was like, oh, they resolved Talion, blah blah blah. Everybody be careful about your two spells. And then nobody cared. Like everyone was like, Thalwarstone, Arcane Sphere, Timba. And then it was just like, oh, wouldn't you guys literally, and then someone would, and then everyone would be like, why are you doing that? You're feeding all these cards. And then and they'd be like, sorry, I have to advance my game plan. And they pass the turn, and the next person would be like, okay, Thalwarstone, Arcane Signet, Malcolm. And you're just like, okay, like,
bro,
next person goes like, Demonic Tutor, Rock, other thing. And you're just like, oh my God, you guys are like whining at each other about not respecting it, but then nobody's respecting it. And I think that's like, it might just be like, once again, it might just be like a difference in the area, but it's like you can make those fish packs, you can make those study packs, you can agree to like be careful and paste the cards you play into Talion or something like that, right? But it only works if you all actually do that.
Okay, interesting. I was very curious to see how like your experience on like that whole the whole East Coast and online meta is, just because we do play I feel like just hearing your examples, we play a substantially different game here.
We play
night and day.
Really respectfully to a lot of those like effects, right?
Yeah.
And so I just think it's one of those really interesting things where, and it's probably just like, once again, like a lot of people from our group didn't really do all that great. I think like me and somebody else from our area, Parker, shout out to Parker. We did okay. Like we were still live until like the last couple rounds, because I think we sort of like pivoted our strategies a little bit more and we were like, okay, well, if people aren't going to respect anything, then we'll just like put these pieces out and just draw cards for free to win games. Which is,
yeah, because I feel like your decks are substantially better at just winning after drawing a lot of cards than most decks.
Yeah, like that. And so that's kind of what we did, right? And so I don't know how like a lot of the other games went, but they didn't do as well, and that might be a factor. But it also seems like if like a couple of East Coast people were to come over to the West Coast, they would like mulligan really low to like keep a study or a Remora or something, like not knowing the meta and like the way people play, right? Like the style of play. Not even the meta, but like the meta game, right? And then they're gonna play out their fish or their study or whatever, and it's not gonna get fed, and they're just gonna lose games because people just pay for everything.
Yeah, I feel like if you do that here, someone's gonna go, oh, how many cards do you have in hand? You have one. Hey guys, kill this guy. Like, what? Don't feed him. Like, they dump their hand. Don't give them a new hand and a draw engine. Like, just don't.
Yeah,
everyone's gonna go, oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so I think it's a different meta game, like understanding how to play around different effects and like how to play in situations. There's a lot of people who are just like, oh, I see a window, I'm gonna push a win, and they get interacted with and like basically shut down, but they can still keep pushing, and they just keep pushing, like even if they end up like not getting there and then pass and lose. Like one of the most interesting plays that I saw all tournament was with Wishclaw Talisman. So like, obviously the most, technically speaking, the most optimal play, because I feel like a lot of people in our area try to make optimal plays, is to give the talisman to the person who cannot use it to a very good effect, or like they need to use it to get like a land or a mana crypt or something like that, or you pass it to the last person in the turn rotation right before you. Or maybe like you make a bargain with it or something, right?
Yeah, or you just do what I do and hold it until you go for the win.
Yeah, and like that's an option. And this person did end up winning after they activated their talisman, but it was realistically pretty close. It was a weird line that they didn't see right away. They were in the tank for a long time, and they got really lucky on some draws and stuff, right? But like for their storm turn, they were playing wrong side. But they cracked the talisman, and we said, hey, like just pass it to Tibbet. He's last in rotation, and like everyone will get an untap and be able to try and stop him if you get stopped here, because it's going to be kind of narrow, and you're even saying it's narrow, and you're not even sure you can win. And they said, no, I'm not going to do that, because if I'm not going to win, then I don't really care who wins. So I'm passing it to the guy to my left, who's also Turbo Grixis, who
Jesus, like, what?
Just windfalled into 27 cards. And like,
sorry, no DJ, one... run that back me one exactly. more time. Exactly.
They're like, well, if I'm not winning, I just want the Grixis player to win. Like, I don't really care if like what the optimal play is here.
And, okay.
Yeah. So it's just one of those things where it's like, maybe not everyone plays that way. Maybe it was just a player, but that was part of my experiences, right? And it seems like that. From a couple of other games that I played as well, that type of like, well, if I'm not winning, I truly could not give a flying heck what happens to the game after that was like a little more widespread. Whereas like people in this area tend to be more respectful to the integrity of the game. Like they're not trying to throw. Where it's like, if I'm not winning, like I don't, obviously I'm unhappy, but I'm not gonna like punt the game on purpose, which like seems like that kind of is like, especially if you know there's like a non-zero chance that you just fizzle out here, and you're saying there's a non-zero chance you just fizzle out, then like you should be trying to push the game to a draw, because that's mechanically correct both by tournament standards, like competitive and just by integrity, gameplay standards, like yeah right. So I don't know, I had played a couple of other games like that. Overall I had a great time, but I would say that the tournament, my tournament experiences there definitely lived up to its name of Punt City. There was a game that I played where a Naya player in fourth seat jammed, first seat was Kinnan, and then it was Anala, and then it was me, and then it was Shalai and Halar.
No, Anala.
And Kinnan has 9 mana by turn 2 and their commander in play. They pass. Anala goes second land, Arcane Signet. I go second land, Mana Dork. And then Shalai and Halar goes, they're like, well, I'm mulligan for a stacks piece. Gotta cast my stacks piece. Second land, Thalia, Guardian of Thraben.
Uh-oh.
So now no one can interact with Kinnan at all. And they go untap with 9 mana, hard cast Void Winnower. And there's not a single thing we can do to counterspell that, because we're locked out by this Thalia. And I was just looking at the Shalai and Halar player. I was like, why would you do that? That is so just such an awful idea to play that into Kinnan. And they said, well, I was looking for Collector Roof, but like this is pretty good against Kinnan too. And I'm just going in my head, I'm just going, only if you cast
non-creature.
It, like, only if you're going before them and like you get it out before they get all their rocks out or something. And like realistically, unless you're casting it on turn 1 from a seat before Kinnan, that's not going to happen.
And also, it doesn't stop the heavy Dork Hand either.
Exactly. Like it just seems like an awful, awful, awful card to play. And then because of that, specifically because of that Shalai and Halar play, we the Void Winnower resolved and we immediately lost, even though Inala and I both had a counterspell that we could have cast on the Void Winnower had we had mana, right? So
I don't think I can ever get into the headspace of doing that in a table with a Kinnan that's already so far ahead, because I've flirted with the idea of playing Thalia in like Baby Pod and just like other white decks. I'm like, I think you can strategically like deploy it and have it be pretty damn effective, or have it be like almost a silence effect because it taxes like the interaction so heavily.
Yeah.
But like, what? I'm so lost on that one. Well, I mean,
it was a silence effect. It silenced us from interacting with Kinnan.
Ah, okay, yeah.
It didn't do... And I think, like, maybe the player was newer or not super competent or well-versed in what the different decks do. It was just one of those things where it's like, if you were going first, that actually seems like not the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, not a terrible idea. Slow everyone's rocks
down. You're going after everyone. You didn't communicate to either of the players who might have counter magic to stop Kinnan that you were going to do this and that we shouldn't tap out. You just slammed it and then passed, and so now we die.
Yeah, it's like, how are we supposed to deal with this, like, when you're not communicating that information that's pretty critical to us?
Exactly. And, like, we didn't even die immediately, right? The Kinnan player's hand was, like, pretty terrible, and they weren't very good at playing Kinnan. They just kind of, like, they, like, just cast a bunch more cards from their hand, like, more big creatures, instead of, like just spinning Kinnan or like tutoring and spinning Kinnan or whatever. Like they just weren't playing very like mechanically optimally. So we had a lot of turns to untap, and Anala and I were actually able to play several more lands and like rocks and stuff to like, I played like a Sol Ring and like paid for the Thalia and everything. So we got mana out onto the field, but we were never able to even come close to stopping Kinnan after that, because like we could deal with either the Void Winnower or the Thalia.
Yeah, like, what are you supposed to do?
Never had enough mana to deal with the Void Winnower and pay for the Thalia. And even if we do, then Kinnan has like a full grip at this point because they jammed a Consphinx, and like, oh, we're gonna get like, they're just gonna counterspell whatever we do because they have all the mana in the world to pay for Thalia, and they have all the cards that they can cast unrestricted of anything. So it was just one of those things where it's like, are you kidding me? Like, why would you do this?
Are you kidding me?
Are you kidding me?
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. So that happened in that type of things happened in several of my games. I also wasn't like, I didn't play the best that I've ever played. I had several like critical errors in a couple of my games. Notably the round where I got knocked out of being live for top 16. I had a game winning line that was like, it was completely free, and it was a Tainted Pact line, and I flubbed it because I decided to stop on a silence for extra protection, and I have to resolve the silence in order for the line to work. And the only piece of free counter magic left at the table, because everyone was tapped out, was Mental Misstep. So I ate a Mental Misstep and died, whereas if I'd just gone straight for my line, they would not have been able to stop me. So
playing too safe was what got you.
Yeah, and it was playing too safe, but it wasn't even that. It's like, I knew all the counter magic was exhausted, except for Mental Misstep, because the only player who had any mana, who had any interaction, who'd drawn in really any cards that game, was the Esper player, and they've already cast all of their free counter magic, and the free counter magic that they didn't cast, they had consulted past earlier to find like a Flusterstorm or something. And cast it on like the farm player's turn. So I knew that all the other pieces, I wasn't using all of my information. I didn't think about that ahead of time. So like, I had a couple of errors like that where I was like I should have won a game here, or like not lost a game there if I had played more correctly, but I just made gameplay errors. So that, and it happens.
I'm actually curious, what was the table talk like? I know you said like in that Kinnan game that you were talking about, like the Shalai and Holar player like didn't communicate that they had a Thalia. Was that like an outlier situation, or were people like pretty communicative?
It was a pretty mixed bag. I had several tables where I would say in general, I think myself and two other players at each of the tables was very communicative, and like we had discussion about card plays and things like that, but then like there would always be a fourth player who just wouldn't share or wouldn't talk, or just threw their spells on the stack before communicating, and things like that. So the table talk was good but varied. I think there was one of my pods, it was that Shalai and Halar and Kinnan pod. Mm-hmm. There was no table talk. Like, everyone just kind of like I tried to engage people earlier on, and everyone just kind of like put their heads down and just played their cards, which was frustrating.
Oh.
But then like the other pods were pretty good for the most part. One of my pods, the pod where I flubbed my line, was super communicative. The table talk was like, was definitely there. Like, everyone was like discussing, like, and very efficiently too. Everyone was like talking about like, well, this and that, and this if that, and I can do this and you can do that, I won't do this if you do that, I'm gonna do this if you do this. So like, it was all there, but like the actual like the articulation of what was going on got really muddled at the end because people got flustered and like scared of the clock, and that resulted in one of the players killing themselves with their own ad nauseum on accident, because they were told their life total was one thing, but their life total wasn't actually something else. And then a judge was called, and the judge ended up being like, well, we can't rewind it, even though the information was conveyed incorrectly. And so it was like, they ended up dying, and yeah, it was one of those things.
Oh god, that sounds awful. I would not want to be that player. Jesus, that sounds terrible.
It was pretty rough as far as like the articulation in that pod, but the actual communication like for like individual plays was definitely there. It's like, I can sequence this card here, you can sequence that card there. And that was all pretty good. But yeah, I think on the whole communication was good.
Okay.
That's because that was another, like, I was mainly concerned on, or not concerned, concerned is the wrong word I want to use, curious on, like, just generally speaking, how people were playing over there. And then just like table talk, just because I feel like part of the whole, like, I guess Pacific Northwest meta is, I think a lot of our tables are very, very open to discussion, and we're very, like, it's not that we're trying to, like, you know, like, lie or, like, whatever and do anything like that, but, like, we're very open with our information when we need to be, and very closed off. Like, it's very obvious when we're trying to communicate and convey our information when we decide to not do that. And I was very curious to see if that, like, translated over there.
I think it felt relatively similar.
Yeah.
I will say it did feel like there was a lot more, like, and it's probably just, like, one of those, like, regional differences or whatever, but it felt like there was a lot more whining over there, and, like, a lot more, especially, like, for players on meta decks, like, I think this is just like a tier thing, right? Like, there were a lot of players playing, like, meta decks, like Farm and Rog'Sai and stuff, who were just whining a lot. They're like, oh, don't hit me, I can't do anything right now. Oh, don't counter this, I need this in order to, like, remain relevant to the game at all. And and then there was, like, and those players were, like, mediocre players. But then some of the other players were, like, really good. And, like, you see that difference, because they're like, it's like, I'm going to hit you for 4. And they're like, why would you do that? And you're like, because you're on ad-nots. And they're like, fair enough.
Hey, you got, sometimes you gotta ask.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
You gotta ask. Okay, cat's out of the bag.
And then you hit him again, and they're like, yeah, that's fair. And then just move on. And then
it's like, how much are you at? 17? Yeah, you're still getting swung up, buddy. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly, right? But then they're like, there were a fair number of specifically Blue Farm players over there who were just like, bro, you take, they have 7 cards in their hand, they have a fully developed board, and they're just crying because, like, you attack them for 2 in the air and they can't block it or whatever. And they're like, why are you picking on me? That other Grixis player over there who has 2 lands and, like, 4 cards in their hand is obviously a bigger problem. They can drop Dark Ritual into Cabal Ritual into Adnaz at any minute. And you're just like, okay, man.
Bro, like, you can do that too. What do you mean?
Yeah, you can do it with Grand Abolisher. Like, stop. Please stop. Just...
Bro, what? Do you need to see what a pot and a kettle look like? Because,
Yeah, so... I ran into a fair number of whiners over there, and we have whiners over here too. And sometimes, like, whining is a useful political tool, right? There are times where it's mechanically correct to whine, for lack of a better term. But it was just, there were a couple of players that I can think of specifically who just, that is all they did was just complain. And, like, no contribution, no alternative solutions. Not willing to collaborate at all or anything like that. It's like, dude, my hand is terrible. This was one that popped up a lot. My hand is just so awful. Like, I can't really do anything right now. You're like, okay, if it's so bad, show me your hand. They're like, no.
No,
like,
I don't want to do that.
Well, then obviously okay, it's not
sure,
that
buddy.
Bad.
Sure, buddy. If you're not willing to show me 4 lands and a mana dork, like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you see a lot of, like, the, like, hand showy stuff over there?
I did not. There were a couple of times where, like, the really highly communicative pod that I was in, it happened, like, someone would go for a win and be like, okay, well, I can do this, and, like, show one person a card. Like, okay, well, I can do this, so let's sequence like that.
Yeah.
And just brief things like that. And then there was, like, 1 or 2 other times where it's like, okay, well, I can take this game action if you can do that game action. And people are like, oh, okay. I think I might have been the only person who, like, fully revealed my hand at any point during the event that I saw, at least. I think something was happening, and I was like, okay, guys, like, I know you're concerned about my, like, my untap or whatever, but here's what I have. And I just put my 4 cards down, and I was like, I have this Rhystic Study and, like, this other thing, and then this counterspell. And that's not, like, I cannot win on my turn with these cards, with my board, with these cards, like, you see here. But that was the only thing, really. I did do, like, my, I did give them my signature. All right, guys, I am about to put this spell on the stack, and it's gonna be really scary, but I'm just looking for a land. Tainted Pact. Please don't counter it.
Yeah, please, like, please do not counter this. I'm stopping at the first land I see.
Yeah, and everyone's like, okay. And I was like, okay. Oh, look, a white source. I'll stop here.
Yeah.
I will be honest, the first time that I did that, like, the pod was, like, super skeptical, and I'm pretty sure if anyone had a counter spell they were willing to burn, they would have countered it, but I think the only one that was floating around right then was Force of Will, and they were like, well, I'll just force the Oracle, right? But they were like, they all looked at, gave me the side eye, they're like, I don't know about that, and I was just like, and then I stopped at the land, they were all kind of like, huh,
interesting. You can do that, you can do like, that, why?
Yeah, and I was like, okay, play my land for turn, like... I told you what I said I was gonna do.
Man, I told the truth and followed through. That's I'm a goofy character.
It's
so funny talking about that because I imagine if you're not used to that style like communication, be like, yeah, I'm gonna intuition for three lands. I'm getting rainbow lands. Please don't counter or op me. You know, that must be a weird thing to encounter if you don't ever like see that happen.
It's
like this potentially very scary spell on the stack. And it's just like, yep, I just want to make a land drop. That's literally it.
Yeah. It is really interesting though, because like after you do that, like the attitude that people make towards your plays and the deals that you propose just like changes drastically after you.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Like because there was one point where I was like, somebody had like a Rolic or something in that same game, and I was like, look, I know you want to score your Tymna attack, and I know you also want to Rolic my Talion, but how about this? How about you don't Rolic my Talion, and I just let you get a hit with your Tymna, and then you save your Rolic? And they were like, oh, okay. Go to combat, attack.
Yeah, I guess you can do
like,
that.
And they were like, I'm going to move to the clear blocker step. Would you like to declare any blocks? And I was like, no, I said I wasn't going to. And they're like, okay, all right, hit you for two. I was like, great, my Talion lives, right? And they're like, yeah. I was like, sick.
Sometimes you just gotta ask. Yeah. Literally just ask.
Yeah, that's really what it boils down to, I think. It's just communication. And it's like the worst that someone can say is no, right?
Yeah. It's like, no, if you swing at me, I'm blocking it. It's like, oh, well, I guess I have to use this Rolic now.
Yeah.
Because I really need this attack or whatever. They haven't really talked about the rounds and stuff. I don't necessarily feel like... Do you feel like we need to go, like, round by round? Or, like, are we just kind of fine just, like, hopping highlights?
I don't feel like there was anything particularly interesting that happened outside of, like, the highlights that I mentioned. I think so. My round one was fine. We died to a Rog'Sai that took a really... had a horrible, horrible Necro. And then Windfalled... took a risky tutor with their talisman and then passed it to the person who would untap and win guaranteed on their turn. And
classic.
Then, yep. And then they ended up being able to figure out a line that got them there. Round two was good. It was ended in a draw, I'm pretty sure. It was like me, Farm, Dawn Waker, and Thrasrog. The Farm player whined a bit, but other than that, it was fine. What else? Round three was the terrible, terrible Kinnan Shalam Olar game, where Inala was useless and we got bodied by people playing just terribly. And then round four was with Derevi, Jarrett actually playing Malcolm and Tevesh.
Shut
up.
And
then another one of our group, Dylan, was playing Krom and Tevesh. And then that game was good. Also ended in a draw. I took a really aggressive line that ended up getting stopped and the game drew. And then my last game of the day one was I got a win with against Thrasios Dargo, Kinnan, and Farm, and basically two of the players mulliganed really low because they were just drawing garbage, and then Kinnan popped off super hard. Farm jammed a Dranith Magistrate. I kept a super greedy hand that didn't really do anything and hinged on a mana drain, making me some mana at some point. after turn two, and I had like a bunch of counter spells. But then Farm jammed a Draenith Magistrate, Thrasios bolted Kinnan, and then Kinnan untapped and hard cast a Bloom Tender that I, or not a Bloom Tender, a Nyx Bloom Ancient that I mana drained. And then I went to my turn and jammed Smothering Tithe and the One Ring in the same turn. And then
nasty.
Then, like, the game just kind of like was over.
Yeah, I don't feel like you can really recover from that one.
Yeah, everyone, Kinnan had like two cards in hand. They, like, just got absolutely blown out. They tried to Worldly Tutor at one point to get a Kogla to remove the Draenith Magistrate, and that got Menthol misstepped. And after their next Bloom Ancient had been countered, and then that was it though. The Thrasios resolved the One Ring at some point, but I also had a Bowmasters and Smothering Tithe and my own One Ring, and like we just
and L and Ratio and yeah, Dizzy Spell.
So that was Dizzy Spell, and and so it was that game. Like, I just generated so much value, and eventually I cast a Grand Abolisher, and they were all like, yeah, you got it. And then day two was the pod that I played with the really communicative players, and that was Esper Malcolm, Farm, me, and another Tevesh Krom. And we stopped a Blue Farm attempt under Uncounterable Grand Abolisher, or with Uncounterable Grand Abolisher. We ended up resolving a Mindbreak Trap on that, countering their Final Fortune, silencing them, used everything, moved to my turn. I have a win line, flub a win line, then we pass and die to Breach.
Tale as old as time.
I know.
That's so sad, though. Well,
that cut me out. And then, but it was okay, because there was a redemption event, so got to play a little bit lower stakes, but got to play some more Magic and play with some new players I hadn't played with before. I got to play against Jensen. Not Jensen Lurrus, just Jensen. So that was kind of interesting.
Jensen is the mana dork guy, right? The two mana?
Yeah, 5-color, 2-mana mana dork guy. Typically, you like partner it or companion it with Lurrus, but
yeah,
they didn't. They were just playing raw Jensen.
Okay.
Kind of cool, actually. And then I also played against Raphine, was a little bit of an interesting deck.
Ooh.
More Tevesh Krom.
I was playing Raphine for a minute.
And then I think, was there anything else cool? Oh, another Rog Thras build. Yeah, I think that was kind of everything interesting that I played against.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was following the standings for the main event, and then I don't know, for whatever reason, the website wasn't tracking the side event, the redemption event. How did you do with that one? Because I know none of the standings for that one. It just wouldn't work for me.
Yeah, it wouldn't work for anyone there either. They ended up doing their standings with paper pairings.
Okay, cool. That makes sense why I couldn't track it then.
Yeah, the command tower software wasn't working or whatever, or the judge didn't know how to pair it or something weird. I don't know. It was just a record-based event. They just did like three rounds, and then based on your record, they priced you out at the end, so...
Okay.
Yeah, there was no top four or anything like that.
Oh, cool. Well, did you have fun? Was it a good experience?
Also, yes, it was a very good experience. For anyone listening who is contemplating going to one of these super large events in the future, I would highly recommend it. I think it's a really... Grab a couple people to go with, so you have like a core group to hang out with in downtime and whatnot, but it's a really fun experience. So I highly recommend it to anyone who's able to go.
Yeah, I trust me, if I could have gone, I would have gone. I would have loved to have been there because it sounds like so much fun.
Yes, it was. Yeah, it was.
It just to play in a completely different environment and just see how I do. I'm mainly curious on that more so than anything else. And like, I want good games. They got good players over there. I want to see how I stack up against the good players, like all that stuff.
Yeah, I was disappointed because after losing my first two, or losing my first round and drawing my second, I did not get matched up against really any of the good players until like super like late, like the next day. Mm. In my one round the next day, I got to play against some really good players, but I was disappointed.
It happens. It happens. Them's the breaks.
It's okay. We'll get them next time.
We'll get them next time. Punt City 4 or whatever. We'll be out there in full force to take over the entire event, because now we know. So like,
now we know Jamristic study. You're never punished.
Yeah. So like, did you like Did it feel effective? Did you feel powerful when you're like, okay, fine, I guess I turbo mole for like Rhystic Study?
Oh yeah, absolutely. There was one game that I played. I kept a one lander with Mystic Remora on like five cards or something, and I untapped with like nine cards on my hand. And then hit my land drop. It was so dumb. Like,
what the fuck, man?
It was so dumb.
I guess I understand the banning argument, but also, like, this is a preventable situation.
Yeah, like, simply wait a turn, see if somebody, like, is able to play another land or whatnot. Oh my gosh, dude, it's just so silly.
That sounds super duper free, not gonna lie.
It was, yeah, I did end up winning the game.
Really? The turn one fish that put you up to nine cards going into your second turn won you the game? Won the game up?
It's just so silly.
Okay, but how many times did you resolve Dizzy Spell?
I was not on Dizzy Spell. I cannot tell a lie. But okay. But I will be contemplating using it to tutor for Mystic Remora in the future. Especially in events on the East Coast where apparently the card is just insane.
Yeah, hey, man. It wins the game, can they say? That's all you need, is just gotta find your fish, and then you win the game, right? It's just that simple. That's how CDH goes.
It's just that simple, right?
There's no entire like classification of card that you can play that like Rhystic Study or like Mystic Mora like doesn't like do anything with or anything like that.
Nothing. No, nothing like that.
Okay, cool. Well, glad to know. Glad to know. Cool. Excellent. You got anything more we need to cover about Yield Punt City?
I don't think so.
Epic. Well, I want to thank you for telling me all about Punt City. I wish it could have gone. I'll go next time. It'll be great.
Yeah. We look forward to having you along.
Hell yeah. All right, everybody. Thank you for listening. Keep your Dizzy Spell safe. We'll catch you next time.